The title of the message or the lesson is Sinners, we need Christ as Lord and Savior. I give you three passages to get the introduction for that. Luke 19:10, and in Galatians 1:4, and Acts 4:12. In Luke 19:10, Christ said he came to the world to seek and to save that which is lost. And those that are lost is us, you and I. That includes the Christians. According to Ephesians 2nd chapter, before we were Christian, we were walking like the world, same way. In Galatians 1:4 says that Christ came to deliver us from the present evil world. But I'd like you to notice one particular word there in Galatians 1:4. He says, might. These three passages that shows that we need Christ. All right? Because if without the Lord, without Christ as Savior, you and I are going to stand to give an account to God and take that judgment. Acts 17, chapter verse 30 and 31. Galatians 1:4 says, who gave himself our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world? I want you to take note of the word might. In the case, there will be individuals that do not want Christ as the Lord and Savior. And we have those atheists, we have many other people that just don't totally want nothing to do with the Lord at all. Then we have those individuals, they don't want Christ as the Lord and Savior because they don't want him in Christ's terms. They want him in their own terms. Though many, many reject Christ as their Savior, it does not remove the responsibilities that you and I have to give an account to God. 2 Thessalonians 1 chapter verse 8 and 9. And 1 Peter 4, chapter verse 17 and 18. Sinners are lost, not because we rejected Christ. Before we rejected Christ, we were already lost. John 3, chapter verse 18. The scripture says in John 3, 18, says this, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. That even before you rejected Christ, you're already condemned because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. They reject the only individual that could save them, and because they rejected him, their past sin is not forgiven yet. He that believes in Christ as their Savior and Christ turns in faithful obedience, he's not condemned. But he that believes not that Christ as their Savior, in his terms, they're condemned because they're already condemned because of their past sins. All of us had sinned before we accepted Christ. But they will not remain condemned if they only turn to the Lord in his terms. If you do that, they won't be condemned. All right, first point I want to get great, showing you why we need the Lord and Savior, every one of us. We cannot save ourselves. There's not a soul is capable of saving itself. That none of us can escape the penalty of sin. All of us are sinners. We're under the guilt of sin. And you and I have to pay for the penalty for sin if we don't repent. And Genesis 39:9 said, Joseph said, how can I sin against God? Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death. And Revelation 21:8 tells you the wages of sin. By the way, Romans 6:3, it doesn't mention sin in the plural. It mentions sin in a singular. It only takes one sin for the penalty of death, hellfire. Unrepentant. And Revelation 21:8 tells you what that death is consists of. And the reason why sinners are lost, because we all have sinned from our youth. Genesis 8, chapter verse 21. Tell us we from their youth we sin against God. And 1 John 3:4 tells us sin is transgression of the law. There's not a man that sinned not. No matter how good you are, how righteous you might be, you're not a sinless individual. 1 Kings 8:46 says there's not a man that sinned not. Romans 3:23 says we all come short of the glory of God. Not even the righteous just man avoids and escapes sin. Ecclesiastes 7, chapter verse 20 tells you, not even a just man sinned not. That's why Christ had to die for our sins of the world, to redeem us, because we are not capable to save ourselves. Romans 3:23 says this: He is the propitiation for our sin, not only ours only, but also for those sins of the world. I want you to notice that 1 John 2:2. There's two types of sins it talks about there. The sins of the world, the non-Christians, he died for them. Then he says, our sins, the Christians that commit sin, he died for them too. Amen. No sinner can pardon himself. It's not individual. Let's put it this way. If I committed a crime and I'm the criminal, can I justify myself and forgive myself for committing the crime? No. It's up to the law, the judge, to decide that. What requires the penalty of sin, of the crime. So whether we acknowledge it or not, you need Christ to be saved, to escape hellfire. There's not a soul here that's going to escape hellfire without Christ. We all need Christ. We are actually in God's mercy to be pardoned of our sins or not, or if we're not pardoned or not, depending on our attitude, our disposition to accept Christ's judgment. Romans 2nd chapter, verse 3 through 11, tell you specifically that God extends mercy to those who are willing to pardon the repentant of sins, and then he extends wrath upon those who are not repentant of sins. God shows great mercy towards sinners when he gave his only begotten Son to save those who come to him through his Son in his terms. You and I are in no position to lay terms to God on how to come to him or how to be accepted. When we're yet sinners, without strength to save ourselves, in due time Christ died for our sins. Romans 5, chapter verse 6 through 12. Christ provided redemption, atonement, forgiveness of sins. Without the shedding of the blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9:22. He's the only way to go to heaven. He's the only way to be forgiven. There's no other way beside Christ. Without Christ and his blood, none of us will ever enter eternal glory. We need his blood. The Samaritan people acknowledged Christ, that he was the redeemer of the world. John 4:42. Apostle Paul acknowledged that he's the redeemer for the whole world. Galatians 1:4. So there's no question that you and I need the Lord. I don't care if you don't want to acknowledge him. I don't care if you reject him or rebel against him. That still not relieve you of responsibility that you still need the Lord. Which leads me to the second point. Christ is the only Savior of mankind who's able to deliver us from sin and Satan and hellfire. As we already seen in the past, sinners cannot save themselves because we're not sinless. If we're sinless, we earn salvation. We deserve heaven. But since we're not sinless, we don't have hope as to heaven without Christ. Christ came into the world. He was God in the flesh. He was complete human and complete deity. But in his life, as an earthly man, he was just as human as you are. He faced every temptation you face, every trial you face. He experienced everything like we did. He's a human being, but yet without sin. He said, well, he was God. Yes, he was God, but he was also a man. Let me tell you one thing. Hebrews 4, chapter verse 14 to 16, he said he was tempted at all points like us. Temptation would mean nothing to him if he was God. Exercising his life as God. But he lived like a human being, so temptation had a meaning. It enticed him to sin, but he refused to sin. See, you cannot tempt God. James 1:13. If Christ was behaving like God, a deity, which he was God in the flesh, but he was living like a human being, and he was tempted like a God, he cannot be tempted. But he was tempted like a human being, just like you and I. He chose to live a sinless life, to become a perfect human being, to be the Lamb to deliver us from sin. John 1:29 and 1 Peter 1:19-20, Hebrews 8:10-10. Christ lived a sinless life as a man without exercising his divinity. Christ not once exercised his divinity to live like a man. He had to experience, like the prophet could perform miracles and so forth, but that's different. But to live the Christian, the life that he lived, it was all acting a human being. He had the same compassion we you and I have, same trials we you and I have, and same temptation we have. Not once did he ever exercise his divinity. Not even his resurrection. Christ resurrected not in his own power. He died like a human being. He rose like a human being. Christ, God raised him up. Book of Acts, 2nd chapter, 23, 24. He had to be a complete human being. He had to be raised like us. Like John 5, chapter, verse 28, 29. He was a sinless life. He lived like a human being, spotless, sinless, to take away the sins of the world. John 1:29, 1 Peter 1:18, 21. You know, my friend, we have to be grateful that he died. Not only he died, he arose. Because without his resurrection, we'd still be lost. Romans 5:25. There's no other man that can save us. My friend, it took a sinless man to live on earth as a human being, which is God on earth, who was willing to shed his blood for you and me. He didn't hesitate. He had trials, all right. Like in Luke 22nd chapter, his decision to continue to do the will of God was hard to make that decision. His sweat was like blood, but he carried on. How many of us ever dare try to live the Christian life just because it's hard for us? He did it for you and me. Why shouldn't it cost us to be able to sacrifice and live for him, even though it might be hard? My friend, this man who was willing to shed his blood for our sins, to pardon us, was Christ, who we need as Lord and Savior. Romans 5, 9-12. Third point. I might get it done before then. When I get in the bind, I go too rapid. All right. As sinners, we need Christ, our Savior, and his blood in our life. None of us will ever escape the hellfire damnation of our sins without Christ and his blood. Your morality cannot save you. Your work cannot save you. It's going to be Christ and his blood. As Romans 5:9 tells you that through faith in Christ's blood, we're delivered from the wrath of God. Hebrews 5:9 tells you, the author turns on to obey him, obedient to his true word. And Romans 9:27-28 tell you that when he comes again, he'll take us to his glory. Romans 5:9 says this: much more than not justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Hebrews 5:9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, not just believe him. At the cross, Christ provided the provision for atonement. Romans 3, chapter 23-26. That provision for atonement was for a man's sin was pardoned upon the cross, but the atonement itself, the cross, did not redeem you. Just because you believe in the atonement, that Christ died on the cross, that's not your salvation. Your salvation is redemption in Christ. Notice Romans to the third chapter, Romans 3rd chapter. The death of the cross is the provision. That's all it is. Now, another Romans 3rd chapter. Romans 3rd chapter and verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption, where is it? In Christ. The cross was a provision, but the atonement in the forgiveness sense is redemption is in Christ. If you believe Christ died for your sin on the cross, it's not going to save you. That's the provision. But if you don't take advantage of the provision, you're lost. Redemption is in Christ. That's Romans 3, 23, 24, and 1 Peter 4, 17, 19. Redemption is in Christ, having faith in his blood to justify us before God and to escape the wrath of God. Romans 3, 24, and Romans 5, 9. Though Christ had died upon the cross, all that is in vain. If we're not in Christ, that death at the cross that shed his blood to atone our sins is in vain. Amen. You got to be in Christ to take advantage in the provision that God gave us to be atoned and forgiven our sins. To have Christ as a Savior, the truth of the matter, you have to be in the Lord's church. That's a fact. Where's the blood of Christ flows? In his body. Acts 20, 28 tell you he purchased church with what? With his blood. Where do we reach that blood? In baptism. And that same thing that forgives your sins puts you in the church. Acts 2, 38 tell you if we're baptized into forgiveness, to receive the forgiveness and to receive the Holy Spirit. But also in 1 Corinthians 13, chapter verse 12, 13, we're baptized into what? Into his body. What's that body? The church, Galatians 1:18. So if you're not being baptized for forgiveness of sin, you're not redeemed. You're still lost in sin. If you're not the body of Christ, the church, you're still lost. Because the blood of Christ does not flow anywhere else except in this body. Where does your blood flow in? Your body. It don't flow in mine. If you're not in Christ, you're not in the church, you're still not being redeemed. I'm going to tell you, the Apostle Peter, not denomination preacher, said this, but he said he did repent and baptize for the forgiveness and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, water has no power to forgive no sin. And yet it tells you that your sins are forgiven when we're baptized. So somehow, somewhere along the line, we must contact Christ's blood and water. And the answer is from Romans 6, chapter verse 4. So when many are baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death. Where did Christ shed his blood? That's where you contact the blood in baptism. You rise with him in newness of life. The scripture in Ephesians 5, chapter, verse 25 and to 27, it tells you, let's go to there. See, a lot of people get the idea, I've been baptized, so my sins are forgiven. Let me tell you one thing, if you're not in the Lord's church, your sins are not forgiven. You say, can a man be saved if he's scripturally baptized? Yes, he can. How long you remain saved? I don't know, because you got to be in the body of Christ. You got to be in the church. Notice Ephesians 5 chapter. That particular passage tells you that Christ cleanses church through baptism. Let me see it here. 5 chapter, verse 25 to 27. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He died for the church, that he may sanctify it, cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That word washing, I got the number in the Strong Dictionary, 3067, if you want to check it out, Strong Dictionary. It simply means baptism. Through baptism, he washed. Let me tell you this. God cannot have fellowship with us, cannot abide with us, unless you cleanse. He cannot live in the sinful life of an individual. You got to be cleansed. To wash it of the water, which is baptism. And that's the same word washing in Titus 3rd chapter, verse 5. It's a washing, regeneration, rebirth. It's through baptism. When you automatically were baptized into Christ, your sins were forgiven, cleansed by the blood of Christ, and you became a part of the body of Christ, the church, where the blood of Christ flows. It don't flow nowhere else except in the church. We may not like that, but that's what the Bible teaches. It'd be nice if it'd be different, but it's not that way. We either learn to accept the Word of God as what it says, or just throw it away because it's going to do no good. So consequently, then, baptism is where we contact His blood. Notice in Hebrews 10, chapter, verse 10 and 12. Hebrews 10, chapter, verse 10 and 12. By which we are sanctified through offering of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ, once and for all. Even as the priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down at the right hand of God. For henceforth, expecting his until his enemies made his footstool. But notice that Christ died for our sins. My friend, without Christ, without his blood, we cannot be redeemed. But we never come to know Christ and but his blood, without his word. Through the gospel, he called us. 1 Corinthians 1, 9, 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, verse 13 and 14. But another point we need to understand. Once we're saved, we're not always once saved, always saved. The Bible don't teach that. Remember in Ephesians, 1 John 2nd chapter, verse 2, he died for the sins of the world and for the sins of the Christians. When a Christian falls in short of the glory of God, he needs to maintain his faith in Christ. Let's start with 1 John 1, 7. 1 John 1, 6 says, you see, you have fellowship with God, you walk in darkness, you're near. You have no fellowship with God at all. And verse 7 says, we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God and one another, and the blood of Christ cleanses from our sin, washes away our sins. Then in verse 8 says, we come short of the glory, we confess it, God can forgive our sins. If a Christian backslides, slips away, he is doomed and lost in hell fire, eventually, in day of judgment. Now notice verses 2nd chapter. By the way, 28 chapter Proverbs, 28 chapter Proverbs, verse 13 says, we always read some people get the idea in First John 1, 9 says, just confess your sins. That's more like Catholic. Go confess your sin, go continue to practice sin. Confess your sin, go practice sin again. And Proverbs 28, 13 said, he that forsaketh his sins and confesses his sins, then he's pardoned. Not just confessing it, It's a matter of repenting and change your life. And if you show your fruits, you repent of your sins by noticing 1 John 2 chapter verse 3 to 6. It tells you, once you're forgiven, you must walk as he what? Walked, as he lived. What's that? 5 minutes? Okay. All right, I'll wind it up this way. The last point was the Lord's Supper. Now, the Lord's Supper is to keep us humble. Some of us get too cocky. You know, we think we're great preachers, we're great this, we're great that. You know what the Lord's Supper is? The body represents what? The bread represents the body. That body died, that's Christ's body hanging on the cross. By the way, Lord's Supper don't forgive nobody's sin. They don't teach that. Before you take the Lord's Supper, you need to examine your life. See any flaws, ask God for forgiveness, then you can take the Lord's Supper. Anyway, the Lord's Supper represents that Christ died on the cross. The grave you represent that Christ shed his blood for us. Shows to you, you didn't save yourself. It took the sacrifice of Christ to save us. And then it's again until he returns, showing again that you've been redeemed. Someday, he's going to come for you. Now, a Christian life is not a sinless life. But it's a life that's consistently living without practicing sin. Notice 1 John 3:7. It says there, you know, you heard people, you wear the rope of Christ. You don't wear Christ's rope. You wear your own rope. He that is righteous, as Christ. Let me read that. I better wind it up here. I want the church to know, realize that in spite of the fact that we're not sinless, we do got great hope in Christ because he made the provision to have salvation through him. But it's no license to practice sin. No license. Okay. I'll read this passage and I'm going to close it. 1 John 3:7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth, in the Greek means practice or continue. If you continue practicing righteousness, you are as righteous as Christ is righteous. Now notice in verse 8. He that committed sin, and that literally means he practiced sin, is of the devil. There's no salvation in practicing sin. Don't fall for the theology, a religious theology, that grace is going to save you. Essential grace is essential, but grace alone does not save you. There's two things it takes to save your salvation, to get redeemed in Christ, grace and truth. They work together. So the truth, the conclusion is this. You and I need the Lord. I don't care how good of a man you are, I don't care what kind of person you are, we still need Christ. And you feel you're ungodly, wicked, so far, and you're no worse than, you still need Christ. God loves you. God wants to save you, redeem your soul. Thank you.